Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
You're locked into Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss podcast powered by Riverland Roofing and featuring Ben Garrett and Billy Embody of Rebel Grove.
Hello, friends, and welcome inside the Riverland Roofing Studios' New Albany branch. This is another edition of Talk of Champions as Ole Miss football fall camp rolls on. Riverland Roofing powers everything we do here at Talk of Champions and at Rebel Grove, an affiliate of On3, riverlandroofing.com, 662-644-4297. Few, if any, are doing more for Ole Miss in the name, image, and likeness space than Riverland Roofing, riverlandroofing.com. We appreciate them, their support, and everything they've done for us as Ole Miss football is back. It's back. Yesterday, if you didn't catch it, Billy Embody and I did a podcast live from the Manning Center, actually the defensive team meeting room of the Manning Center, and had practice observations and highlights and takeaways and really dove into all the big things that caught my eye in the first practice for Ole Miss in this fall camp. Our next availability to go watch them in full is on Friday, but we've gotten some tidbits too. We've talked to coaches and players and this, that, and the other, and that is what this podcast is going to be, a kind of review of the numbers game at a couple of positions. And also you'll hear from Sage Ryan, transfer from LSU, defensive back, who's starting for Ole Miss at strong safety currently. And Damian Taylor, the transfer running back from Troy. I caught up with each of them one-on-one at the Manning Center after practice yesterday, and you're going to hear from them today. But the numbers game, as we look at what Ole Miss football has coming into 2025-26. Three positions in regards to numbers really caught my eye yesterday. Running back is one of them, and we'll get to it because Damian Taylor is going to be a big piece of this. But the first place I want to start on this all-new edition of Talk of Champions, and more to come all this week, make sure to plug in to the Rebel Grove at Food of On 3 for $1, as low as $1. Man, we're going to be churning out fall camp content as much as we possibly can to scratch that itch, to feed that hunger that I know you, the Ole Miss fan, have had for months now waiting for football to return. And there's so much to talk about with this team. And the intriguing thing for me starts with the defensive backs and Sage Ryan. Because after the spring, I touched on this yesterday, it was ugly. I knew Ole Miss knew it had to go and get some quality spring portal guys in that second window to really come in and add to the competition in the room, yes, but also challenge their limited starting options. And yesterday was really cool to see Antonio Kite, the transfer from Auburn, starting at corner, as well as Chris Graves, the veteran. But Ricky Fletcher is going to play a big role this year. I mean, I think physically, from talking to sources all around the IPF, Ricky Fletcher physically and in terms of makeup is the closest thing this team has to a potential shutdown corner. Not to say Chris Graves and Antonio Kite can't be really good players for Ole Miss, really solid players for Ole Miss, but Ricky Fletcher is the one Ole Miss has the most optimism for, currently running with the second team. But watch out for him over the course of this year. But the numbers game in defensive backs, with the defensive backs, has more to do with how they put it all together. This is a big year for Nick Cole. the veteran defensive back for Ole Miss. It's now or never. Same thing with Chris Graves. It's now or never for these guys to be significant, real contributors to a winning Ole Miss football team. They've been in the program for a couple of years. They haven't had the impact maybe that they'd hoped to up to this point. But now is their time because of the land of opportunity that is the Ole Miss defensive backs. Jalen Braxton is someone that we have to see him healthy. He has not been healthy since he got here from Arkansas. Came here and went through the spring, but was in a black jersey. Was in a black jersey again on Monday. I'm curious to see where he ends up lining up. Because if Nick Cole, for example, doesn't really hold it down at free safety, if he's up and down, Jalen Braxton has positional versatility. And though he was a cornerback and a freshman All-American in 2023 at Arkansas as a cornerback, Ole Miss prefers him at safety, though he does have some positional versatility that he could go to cornerback if they have a need there as well. I'm curious to see how Ole Miss makes up for the loss of TJ Banks. Lane's not going to talk much about it, the tragic shooting that cost Corey Adams his life. TJ Banks was there too. MJ Preston was there too. I was told both were shot. TJ was shot through the knee. This hasn't been officially commented on, but TJ wasn't out there yesterday that I saw. He could miss all year. MJ Preston had surgery. He is expected to miss all year. But TJ Banks was a really important piece for a revamped Ole Miss secondary. How they made up the two deep. I mean, he was in there somewhere. Cedric Beavers, the former four-star JUCO player, he came out of the spring as one of the starting cornerbacks. He wasn't starting on Monday, but that doesn't necessarily mean a lot because he did have a good spring, and they like how far he's come. So while we don't necessarily know what the constants are back there in the defensive backfield, outside, I think, of Sage Ryan, I would think that Ole Miss has more options, or at least feels better about it now that the season is a month away than they certainly did coming out of spring football when it was an absolute disaster class for the entire group. I mean, that they just didn't have enough, and the players they did have were kind of stretched thin. I mean, they were having to roll with the same guys in every single rep because they just didn't have a three deep at defensive back. But now, not necessarily, it's not as strong as last year. I mean, Trey Amos dominating a side of the field by himself last year was so invaluable for that football team. Having that kind of luxury opens up everything else. Ole Miss did not have to worry about the boundary because they had the best boundary corner arguably in the SEC, and who's now about to start for the Washington Commanders as a rookie in Trey Amos. Well, inarguably one of the greatest true cornerbacks Ole Miss has ever rostered. Unfortunately, Ole Miss only had him for a year. Replacing him is not going to be easy. And certainly with the options or the lack thereof of the spring, I didn't know if they would be able to. Tavoy Fagan is more of a developmental piece, the transfer from Clemson that they added, but he has some upside. So does, again, Ricky Fletcher, who they think has the most potential to be that dominant, shutdown cornerback in the mold of Trey Amos, because no one, I think, is going to be Trey Amos. But where that last year they really got stuck, Jaden Kennedy played pretty well for them, ultimately became the other cornerback. I think they have enough options to come up with a good starting five, but the depth options are going to be interesting to follow as well, including if a Jalen Braxton, for example, has to move out or something like that. But TJ Banks and not having him, certainly it hurts them. It hurts them depth-wise. He moved from corner to safety after the spring, and they were counting on him in that two deep. So who can emerge? Who can really rise up and be players that Ole Miss can rely on? Same thing with the Ole Miss running backs. As far as Kewon Lacy, man, that's the number one running back right now. But I'm telling you, Damian Taylor, once he gets a handle on the playbook, which you'll hear from him in just a minute, that he's going to have a real role here, if not be a leading back for Ole Miss, a co-one with Kewon and or Logan Diggs, who is healthy, was out there. I didn't see him yesterday, but he was out there. He was going through. He's healthy, man. I mean, he arrived at Ole Miss from Notre Dame and LSU with off of an ACL tear. Like the hope and the kind of teasing of Lane last year that Logan Diggs could potentially come back, it was always a pipe dream, period. It was a pipe dream. And he did get a little run in the Gator Bowl, but that was more just dipping his toes in. That is not the player that he is now. So the biggest problem area offensively running back last year, I think, is in a much better place to start in 2025-26. It's not even close, because where Ole Miss was hoping, going and getting as many of those garbage bin transfers like a Rashad Amos, no disrespect to him, but I mean, he was There's a reason why he's I think on a sixth program, something crazy like that. They were hoping one of those guys would emerge in a money year and really provide that depth if Ulysses Bentley, if you know, Henry Parrish couldn't take the ball and run with it. Henry Parrish did take the ball and run with it for a little bit, but he was very underwhelming in a lot of ways, especially running between the tackles and when you need to milk that clock. Ole Miss has more bruising options, has the shifty options, namely Kiwan Lacy, but I think Damian Taylor, while right now is kind of in the second, third team range, mostly that has to do with not ability, but mastering of the playbook, and he's getting a lot of help from his new running back running mates in that room. So you're going to hear from him in just a second, Sage Ryan as well. And then lastly, wanted to touch on another numbers game, the defensive line. Ole Miss is replacing this entire starting defensive line outside of Suntarian Perkins, but Suntarian Perkins is taking on more responsibility as a linebacker, dropping into coverage more, doing those type of things. I was talking to a source yesterday in the Manning Center and was told that Ole Miss is 8 in this rotation on the defensive line. It would take against anybody in the country. We are going to be good on defense, is what I was told. And that might come as a little bit of a surprise, because when you lose Princely Umanmielen and Jared Ivey, I mean, these are big names that played incredibly important, vital roles for Ole Miss last year. Walter Nolan was a disruptive force unto himself in the middle, was the first Rebel drafted in the 2025 NFL draft for good reason. I mean, this is as good a defensive tackle as you're going to get. And while Ole Miss doesn't necessarily right now have that Walter Nolan in where he was in his developmental phase, a dominant all-league, all-American caliber player, they love the upside of what they do have. And currently, like I'm reading here, I made sure to write the note down, the 8 they have in rotation on the defensive line, they would take against anybody in the country. And that includes yesterday, Deshaun Womack from the transfer from LSU in the Jared Ivey role. You had Jam Brown and Xavier Harris at defensive tackle, the veterans who – I mean, I think Xavier Harris isn't being talked about enough. Xavier Harris is a 6'7 monster like Mount Cody, except he's chiseled, and, man, he's going to be an absolute terror for Ole Miss in the middle of his defense. I think he could have an impact akin to Walter Nolan in terms of his disruption, because this is the year for him to be that. Suntarian Perkins, man, I think they're building the entire defense around him. There's a reason why he's dropping coverage and doing more linebacker responsibilities this year. Pete Golding is going to open him up and build everything around him. This is likely his last year. He's already getting first round, projections from different services. Fully expect him to be an early round pick and sign. And now that second round draft picks in the NFL are getting guaranteed money, the floor is even higher for guys who are in those top two round discussions, to where the money is not only comparable, but better, because the NFL has had to adjust. You used to not guarantee second round contracts to players, but with the explosion of money in college and the NIL piece and competitive offers to keep kids from signing, now they're having to guarantee that money. So where you might say, well, maybe if he, I think Suntarian, this is his last year, but Ole Miss is setting him up for a monster year. Not that he hasn't already had one. Last year, tied for the team lead in sacks with 10.5, was one of the team leaders in tackles for loss, and he looks even better. And I know that sounds homery to a lot of people, but you can see a physical change in him. Like, I've covered him since high school at Raleigh. And there was a legitimate concern about how skinny he was, how thin he was. He doesn't look like that anymore. Now, he's always ripped to shreds, right? He's always strong as heck. But, man, putting on some weight, he looks the part. He looks like an absolutely explosive, dynamic, all-league, all-American caliber player that Ole Miss expects him to be this season in his money year for the NFL as a junior. So Suntarian Perkins is really the lone him and T.J. Dotter. They're like the lone – and Xavier Harris – they're the lone constants as Ole Miss builds out the rest. But as far as what they have in the depth, William Echols, Cam Franklin, Prince Will Umanmielen, who's really impressive. He's not his brother. He's still a little bit further, not as far along in the developmental phase. But, man, you see the vision, and he's wearing that one, and he looks a lot like his brother at certain spots. He's flashing like that, explosive off the edge. But I could see him also kind of developing into more of the Jared Ivey role, where he can slide down and, you know, maybe even do some D tackles responsibility. Same thing with Deshaun Womack. You start to see in that numbers game and that depth that Ole Miss, yes, they lost everything, but there's a reason why Pete Golding is doing a fireside chat with Chris Beard saying, man, I think we're going to be just as good right? Now, I think that's unrealistic, you know, because last year was an historically good Ole Miss defense, arguably the greatest, not arguably, the greatest in modern history and arguably one of the greatest in school history. And to lose a lot, you're going to take, obviously, a step back in some way. And I think mostly that's going to come with Trey Amos, the absence of Trey Amos, and maybe they're a little bit with the absence of Walter Nolan. But I love the two vets. Jam Brown doesn't get talked about enough either. Just the solid, that's a lunch pail guy in the middle of your defensive line, your defensive front, paired with a monster in Xavier Harris. Deshaun Womack, it's his time too. Like, he has to show up. He has to step up and play. At LSU, the former five-star prospect didn't necessarily get the production out of him at LSU that they thought they would be getting out of him. But when he's on, man, there are a few better, right? There are a few better. But can he be on more often than he's off? And that's the question that he has to answer at Ole Miss now. And so far, so good. But that's something you're going to have to watch. But if he doesn't, again, Prince Williamon-Miel, and we haven't even talked about guys like Jeffrey Rush and Cedric Beavers that still, I think, have real potential to contribute not just to winning football next year, but in the future as key pieces to this defensive line. So where the three areas I was most paying attention to outside of offensive line, but we covered that yesterday. And again, go check out that podcast, me and Billy, Day One Observations from Ole Miss Fall Camp. The offensive line was one of those other positions, but we covered that yesterday. Those are the three spots that I really wanted to pay attention to yesterday. We know that Austin Simmons is the guy that everybody's interested in, right? But there's only so much we can tell you about Austin Simmons. I mean, Sage Ryan is a big believer in Austin Simmons, and you're going to hear from him in just a second. But these three positions were the ones that I really wanted to see because I remember coming out of spring how concerned Ole Miss was specifically about the defensive backs. And then, of course, you don't go add another running back if you don't think, man, we still want to make sure we're okay. And Damian Taylor's a really, really good one, a 1,000-yard rusher for Troy last season. And then the defensive line, because of how much they replaced – Princely and Walter Nolan and Jared. I mean, that was a really, really good defensive line. And talking to sources, Ole Miss would take the 8 it currently has in its rotation against anybody in the country, and they firmly believe they're going to be good on defense again. But don't just take my word for it. Here's LSU transfer Sage Ryan from the Manning Center after day one of fall camp, and this is Talk of Champions. Hello again, everybody. Ben Garrett here, live from Ole Miss's first fall camp practice, talking to Sage Ryan, transfer defensive back from LSU. Sage, man, how you been? How's you were here for the spring, so you didn't have to do any of the adjustment thing, but is Ole Miss feeling like home now?
Yes, sir, it is. I'm feeling good. Just taking it day by day. Today was pretty rough, but, you know, we're getting accustomed to it.
Yeah. Well, there's so much new back there. What's been the biggest adjustment? Because, again, y'all are replacing all five stars in the defensive secondary. And I know in the spring it got rough at times because y'all were just trying to figure it out. Are y'all starting to settle into some normalcy? Or what is it like right now just figuring out the roles and stuff?
So in the spring, we was kind of getting adjusted to the playbook, the transfers that came in the spring. So now it's kind of we getting comfortable. We know what we're doing. We're making the right calls. And we're playing faster than we did in the spring. So, you know, we just taking it day by day, like I said, and, you know, just trying to correct our mistakes each and every day.
You're playing strong, if I'm not incorrect. You've been playing a lot of, like, close to the line of scrimmage as well. You had versatility, positional versatility at LSU, played corner and safety. What do you think about where they have you and kind of the responsibilities they're asking of you specifically? Because it looks like you're a guy they're really leaning on back there.
So I like where they have me. I'm kind of playing a lion, kind of a nickel, spot. So I feel like I'm playing fast. I like what I'm doing, and I like what I can do in the secondary. Of course, you know, I'm gonna give a little bit of versatility always, but right now I'm settling in this spot, and you know, I'm playing fast, so that's all that matters.
Yeah, what about the other new transfer guys like out there today? Antonio Kite from Auburn, who signed and was supposed to be here in the spring, didn't really get to do anything. He's out there with a one cornerback spot. Kapina Gushkin, who's been at that star spot the whole time. You got a vet, Nick Cole, back there free. But as far as the other transfers and what you've seen from the combination, do you like the personnel back there and what y'all could be once y'all do figure it out?
Yes, we're gonna be good. I'm excited. You know, we added a few pieces like Antonio Kite. Antonio Kite is good. You know, he do everything right. He adjusting to the playbook, you know, faster than I did. So, kudos to him. Ricky Fletcher, another key solid piece that we got. He's a good cornerback, long, lengthy. He bring like that 6'3" frame, so he gonna be a lockdown guy. And those guys, you know, they doing everything that, you know, the coaches are asking from them, and they're continuing to get better each and every day.
What's the biggest challenge? Because, again, you played at the highest level. This isn't new to you. You're at LSU, for goodness sake. But as far as Pete Golding schematically adjusting to what he does, what's the hardest thing for you? Loaded question, I think.
It's not really nothing hard. It's just, you know, getting – it's the scheme is, you know, a little bit challenging when you first, you know, coming into the program. But when you run the plays and get reps at it, and you understand, you know, why are we doing it? Then you play fast, and you just let go, and you make a lot of plays. So, the proof is in the pudding. Obviously, they had transfers that were successful, you know, last year and the year before that. So, I mean, when you listen to Coach PG, and you're gonna make a lot of plays.
As far as transferring to Ole Miss, I mean, that decision, what went into it, and why was Ole Miss the right fit for you when you decided to leave LSU?
It was – Ole Miss was the right fit because, you know, it's more slower, and, you know, I like the environment, and, you know, when I visited here, it felt like home. And, I like what PG does schematically, and I felt like I can see myself making plays in that defense, so – that played a big part, and, you know, ultimately I had to do what's best for me and my family. It wasn't an easy decision to make leaving LSU, but internally I knew that was the right, you know, right move to make in order for me to, you know, get to the next level.
Well, last thing, and I saved it to the last minute. I mean, everybody's talking about Austin because he's stepping in for Jackson. That's a 3-year starter, a guy that's became a first-round pick in the NFL draft. Playing on the other side of him, you've got a spring against him. You've been one of the few consistent men back there in the secondary, man, since spring. So as far as the spring and kind of where he is, you've played against a lot of quality quarterbacks in this league. So, I mean, you know what it's supposed to look like. What does Austin look like comparatively?
That guy. He looked like that dude. The hype is real. Like, it's real. He making the right reads. He's smart. He know how to look off of safety for sure. So he's doing all the right things, you know, for us to be successful. And all, like, don't get it twisted. Like, every national championship team had a good quarterback. So, you know, we leaning on him. We expect him to, you know, do great things. So just like everybody across the country does. So.
Well, last thing, man. I mean, this defense, the expectation has been set. I mean, Ole Miss has won 21 games in each of the last 2 years since COVID, three programs, Alabama, Georgia, and Ole Miss have won the most games in the SEC. A lot of new faces like Sage Ryan here, transfer defense back from LSU. But, man, when you look out there, do you see another Ole Miss contender? And, I mean, because, you know, Lane said it in his presser, man, he doesn't think the expectations have changed. You know what I mean? He looks at it the exact same.
Of course. I mean, obviously we're going to be a contender, you know. The coaches are confident in us, and we're confident in us as well, and we're confident in the coaches. So, you know, I feel like we're all as one. We're all one piece, and we're leaning on each other, you know, to make the right – to do everything right, and obviously win a lot of games while doing that. But it starts with the process, of course. You know, we're still in fall camp, just getting started. So we're just going to take it one day at a time, and we're going to see where we go from there.
This is LSU transfer defensive back Sage Ryan. Now we're not going to say LSU transfer anymore. We're going to say Ole Miss safety Sage Ryan. Thank you for sitting with me, man, on the first day of fall camp, and we'll be back soon here on Talk of Champions.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
That was Sage Ryan, Ole Miss defensive back. I told him I'm going to do it from now. No longer call him LSU transfer Sage Ryan. He's Ole Miss defensive back, starting strong safety, Sage Ryan. And, man, I think – Ole Miss has got a good one in him. If anything, if we can take anything away from the concerns about the defensive backs, one thing is Sage Ryan has been a constant, possibly the lone constant back there since he arrived in the spring. He can play corner, he can play safety, and that is invaluable for a group that is just figuring out the best five combination. Currently, that combination, or at least on day one, was corners Chris Graves and Antonio Kite, and safeties Sage Ryan, Kapina Gushkin, and Nick Cole. And I should give some flowers to Kapina Gushkin as well, man. I mean, Kapina Gushkin from Washington State, another transfer, he's really settled in. I mean, he got settled in pretty quick as a spring arrival and has been in the starting lineup with Sage since he got here, and he's still doing that. Like, just steady as they go, has some real upside as well. So those two are big, big pieces. But as far as if you're thinking, where does the defensive backfield start? It starts with Sage Ryan, and you just heard from him, who I think is going to have a huge, incredible impact for Ole Miss this year. This is Talk of Champions, as always, powered by Riverland Roofing. RiverlandRoofing.com, 662-644-4297. Few, if any, are doing more for Ole Miss in the name, image, and likeness space than Riverland Roofing. RiverlandRoofing.com. We thank them for all the support they provide us here at Talk of Champions, and also at Rebel Grove. RebelGrove.com, an affiliate of On3. Sign up today for just $1. We're going wall to wall with fall camp coverage from now until Ole Miss kicks off against Georgia State on August 30th. We want you there talking on the message board, asking questions, and again, daily content and as much as we can provide you guys as Ole Miss football is officially back. Now, talking to Damian Taylor was a great experience. I hadn't gotten to talk to him yet since his transfer from Troy, and wow, this kid's impressive. He really is. Now, he's got to figure out the playbook. He's got to get his feet underneath him. But fortunately for him, he has a room that has supported him so far, even though there is added competition. It's Damian Taylor, Keewon Lacy, Logan Diggs, Shekai Mills-Knight. Shekai Mills-Knight wearing number 24 and standing about 6'2", 6'3", looks impressive. And while that might, on other teams, lesser teams, cause animosity and some bitterness about who's getting the snaps and whatever, Damian says this group has really taken to each other and has done nothing but try to help each other get better and make Ole Miss the best team it could be. So wrapping up this edition of Talk of Champions is Damian Taylor, transfer running back from Troy. Thank you so much for again joining me for this edition of Talk of Champions. Again, our next live from practice will be Friday when we're able to go back in there. I'll be again set up somewhere, hopefully the defensive team meeting room again. That was a great spot. So make sure to stay tuned to Talk of Champions. We'll have another podcast tomorrow, more interviews. I haven't decided who I'm using yet, but I talked to a lot of guys one-on-one, including Daquan Wright, Ole Miss tight end, about Caleb Odom shifting to tight end. And you might be surprised to hear that Caleb, at least in the eyes of the starting tight end for Ole Miss, Daquan Wright, looked pretty darn good for his first day. So Daquan Wright will probably be one of them. We'll have another podcast tomorrow, but we're going to wrap this one up with Damian Taylor. This is Talk of Champions. Thanks so much for joining me inside the New Albany branch of the Riverland Roofing Studios, and we'll see you next time. Hello again, everybody. Ben Garrett here, live from Ole Miss's first, or after Ole Miss's first practice of fall camp. This is Damian Taylor, transfer running back from Troy. First time I've gotten to talk to you, Damian. First of all, how's Ole Miss been treating you?
Ole Miss has been treating me great. I really kind of feel like home, honestly. I haven't had not one problem here, honestly. So
awesome. And as far as like, you know, your transfer decision, what made Ole Miss stand out? Because you had options, man. I mean, you're a 1,000-yard rusher coming from Troy. Obviously, you're going to be a big part of this running game, but you could have gone elsewhere, man. What made Ole Miss right for you?
When I took my visit, it felt like home. For the moment I touched down in Oxford, everything just felt right. Everything just felt like home. Like, you know, there's some things you don't have the words for. It's something you can't explain, but when you know type thing. So that's pretty much how it was.
This is a completely off-the-wall question, but I got to ask it because I want to, and I'm sitting here talking to Damian by myself. You're wearing number 12, man. Now, that's a storied number at Ole Miss, including Dante Moncrief for it, but as a running back, you don't see it that much. What went into that?
Well, like you say, you don't see it that much, but for some reason, 12 just looked like that to me. You know, like, you know, I feel like a lot of greats are also worn a lot of time. Well, wore the jersey a lot, so I kind of felt like that was my right placement. And plus, I'm in a new predicament, new place, a new spot, so it kind of made my name with a different type of jersey number.
Do you feel settled in now? I mean, does it feel more like home? Because the transfer culture, it's really hard, man. It's a lot of sudden changes and things like that. So does Ole Miss, has it started to feel like the play, like, Do you feel like this is the place that you were committed to? You know what I mean? Like, you start to settle in that way.
I mean, after my third day here, like, I still knew, like, there's a place I would have been to. Like, even I told my parents, like, after I've been here for 2 days, like, if I had to repeat the process all over again, I would choose Ole Miss again.
Oh, see, that's gold right there. And like I said, you're going to be such a big part of Ole Miss's offense this year. As far as that in the room y'all have, last year running backs was Ole Miss's biggest point of contention as far as offense. And now not just you, but Kewon Lacy, Logan Diggs is a vet, Shekai Mills-Knight, man, that kid's tall as heck and built like a brick shithouse. What do you like about the room, man? What do you think of the room?
It's great people in that room. Like, you know, me coming in as a transfer, you know, you would think it's animosity, especially me being a senior. But to be honest, like, even the guys, they've been showing me so much love. They've been helping me out. Like, they really made my time here so much easier than what it could have been. For the writers and playbooks, they've been helping me. Like, they've been helping me with every single thing, you know. There's a lot to grasp in it. And I feel like because of them, the reason why I'm moving at a great pace I am because of them. Even off the field, just them just showing me love. Like, you know, we didn't try new food places, trying places around. Like, we've been to Hot Wash. Like, I think that was pretty cool. Like, we were in a song of putting the bite together. So I thought it's a pretty good thing right there, you know. So, like, they've been showing me really good love. And you know, we can't really dictate exactly, like, whose stats going to be what during the season. But the only thing we can do is push each other forward each day. So it's a great thing. It's a friendly competition. It's a great competition going on right
now. Food here in Oxford is different level, man. Have you had a next level meal yet? What's the best place you've tried so far? Do you remember?
Best place I've tried so far? I don't know exactly that, but I fell in love with the quesadillas at, what's that place called? Southern Coop, I want to say. Coop, I fell in love with the quesadillas there, yeah.
See, I've heard a lot of good things about Southern Coop. I've been born and raised in North Mississippi. I'm from right down the road in New Albany, man. I went to Ole Miss. I've been covering them now 17 years. I'm getting old, bro. Don't let this fool you right here. Yeah, I know. And I all I hear is Ben try Southern Coop. So now that you've said it, DT, I'm going to give it a shot. All right, as far as this offense, man, like Lane spoke about this in his media press conference there. He talked about the depth of options that y'all have, not just in the running game, but also outside receiver. He thinks it could be a strength of the team. When you think of the weapons that offensively that y'all have around Austin and yourself, what's your impressions so far about what y'all have and how y'all can contend next year?
It's so deep and so many spectacular guys. The point was just like, you can't load the box. And then you can't play too deep, because if you play too deep, you're just going to run straight through. If you bring everybody down, you're going to throw it off your head. So we compliment everyone. Everyone here compliment each other so well, to a point just like, how you going to stop it?
Yeah.
Like, what's going to be your game plan? Like, you're going to sit here and really spend some time thinking and trying to find type resolution to figure out what you're going to do.
As far as how Troy helped you, right? Because you're a great example of how the transfer culture can really work for guys. I mean, you went there and you worked your butt off, and then you got this opportunity in the SEC. How did you grow? When did you become Damian Taylor as far as the running back that's ready to go to a bigger stage and try to show out?
Last season, I definitely put all the pieces together. You know, each year I told, like, I was learning things. Boom. I was learning things as a whole each year. And I want to say last year, I finally put everything together, and it made me the player and the man I am now to be able to, like, to be where I'm at. So I really love the fact of that.
Well, last thing, I kept it to the last question, but Austin Simmons, I mean, he's a story for everybody. He's stepping in for Jackson Dart. He started for 3 years, first-round pick in the NFL draft. What have you seen from Austin as far as his ability to lead, not just the offense, but the team, man, because a lot's being put on his shoulders as a first year. What are your impressions of him?
As you just said, a lot of them put on his shoulders, but I feel like he handled that very well. Like, he handled it as if, like, I know I can do it. Like, he walks around with his head up, chest high, like, way a head up, chest out type thing. Like, he's not showing, like, he back away from anything. Like, in any moment we can play some more, I know he's ready. And just because of that type of energy given off, I feel like, I ain't gonna say I feel like, but I know I'm gonna be ready as well. So he gives off that type of feeling, that energy.
See, I'm ready for Ole Miss football to start. I know Ole Miss fans are as well. This has been Damian Taylor, transfer running back from Troy, going to be a big part of Ole Miss's offense in 2025 on the first day of Ole Miss fall camp. This has been Talk of Champions, powered by Riverland Roofing. Thank you, my friend. Thank you so much. I appreciate it, and we'll see you soon.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper. Distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard-of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.